The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he, and the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you and hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. And they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. In the Gospel today and in the readings around this time, because we are near the end of the liturgical calendar into Christ the King feast next week, it's all apocalyptic. It's all end time. It's all doom and destruction. But if you read the news about the post-elections and about a number of people protesting, I wonder if that, you know, those are some of the signs. On one side, some people are very triumphant. Yes, we won. On the other side, many people are like, "Oh my gosh, the United States is coming to an end." And though Jesus and in the gospel says, yes, the end time will come and will not be subtle, but it won't be necessary like all doom and as we think. But it's very interesting how Christians and borrow from the Jewish idea of time. Because during the time of Jesus, a lot of the nations around the Jewish people think that time is cyclic, like the Hindus, like the Buddhists, which think of reincarnation. That time is like the seasons, spring, or maybe not in Southern California, but elsewhere in the world. You have spring, summer, fall, and winter, and it's cyclic. And cyclic, like Republican candidate win, and then Democrats win, and Republican win, and Democrat wins. As if it never ends. But according to the Jewish people and us Catholic Christians, it does. Because history, that's a point. History is moving towards greater fulfillment, and God's love, God's reign of love and justice does come in its time. But so we live in what's called the time in between. Has God already saved us? Yes. On Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, on the cross, we are already saved. But the fullness of the manifestation of the revelation of this reign of God is still yet to come. And sometimes we think it would never come. But this is where our hope is born, that already the sign of God's kingdom is already here. But then, you look around and you don't always see it. The gap between the rich and the poor is getting wider, no? And I'm not talking about the developing country like Vietnam. I'm talking about in the United States. Just go to downtown LA. On the one hand, tremendous gentrification and new buildings. On the other hand, you know, skid row homelessness, because these people are disappeared, you know, are being pushed away everywhere. So there's a story from our Hindu, from the Muslim Sufi tradition, and it goes like this. This holy man goes around looking for signs of God at work in the world. But he sees, and he goes to a big city, like many big cities then and now, he sees homeless people. He sees beggars. He sees people beaten. And he sees people taking advantage of each other. And he's like, God, where are you? Will you do something? And then a long silence. And after the long silence, he hears God responding. I am doing something. I made you, didn't I? Here is the crazy thing about God. Unlike you and I, we think we're just going to zap things and make things the way we think it is. But in God's great wisdom and in God's deep humility, God works through human history. And God works to human being. That's why God became one of us. So that it's one of the fundamental beliefs of our Catholic faith, is that God is in human history, and God is in human brokenness, and God is in me and in you. And God can write straight with crooked lines. And God can deal with things which are messed up. Not only this, not only God is with us, God trusts you and I. I know, it's crazy. A lot of time I tell God, don't trust me, I don't trust myself. Look at the things I do, look at the promises I break. But let me ask you, does God trust you with all the gifts and talents? I know some of you young people, what are my gifts and talents? Maybe some of the older people too. And it takes time. Does God trust you with your children in your life? Does God trust you with God's dream in your life? And does God trust us with the people God placed under our care? That's tremendous trust. And so our faith, these two big, deep belief, and it's the very deep, and I know we struggle with this. One, God is with us in our human history. Now, if you don't have that experience, it's okay. Ask God for this. Ask God, if you're younger or older, ask God for the gift of at least one or two experiences in your life that you know that God is very near, that God is with you. And by the way, at Mass, we say this four times. The Lord is with you, and you respond, and with your spirit. And it's important for us, during these times of Thanksgiving, but every time, to go back and recall how is God with us in our human history. For me, one of the moments, one of the experiences I keep going back to, is when I was younger, in Vietnam, I remember going to Mass almost every day with my grandparents. I know, every day. Some of you guys think once a week, every day at 5:30 in the morning. I remember a lot of times we were in the high country. We don't get the kind of fog here in LA, but in Vietnam, in that area, it was so foggy that at 5 o'clock when we have to walk to church, I can't see my way beyond my hand. But somehow my grandmother knows. And I remember just hanging on to her hand, and she leads me to church. And sometimes at 5:50 or 6 o'clock, the fog is still thick. I can't see the way. But my grandmother knows. And I just take her by the hand, and she guides me home. And so many times in my life, it feels that foggy. And I don't see my way at all. But I trust the hand of my grandmother. We have these experiences like that. And even when she died a difficult death. But on her deathbed, when I asked her, you know, Grandma, how could you suffer all your life? And she said this, I share Jesus' suffering and he shares mine. And at the time, I'm like, well, she's a pious woman. Of course, she said that. But later on, I understood when my life was like that or when I'm with people who are like that. Those are my experiences. We have our own experiences. And the older we are, the more better chances we have that God is so with us. But we forget. We forget when times are hard. And it's good for us to remember, not just during times of thanksgiving, but it's good for us to remember moments in our life when God is with us, oftentimes through other people. When God forgives us, oftentimes through other people. When God puts up with our shenanigans, oftentimes through other people. But this God, our God, is in our history, in our life, individually and communally, bringing about good and greater life. And if our story is not going well right now, don't worry, it's not the end. Because the end of our Christian story is not the cross, even though the cross seems to be where a lot of us hang our lives. But our story ends with the risen one, the one who says, I will be with you until the end of time. And again, if you don't have that experience, ask for it. Be open for it. And then God trusts you and I. History has an end time. And that end time, God trusts you and I to be God's hand and God's feet in the world. I know, scary. God does. So let me close with a story about how God sees you and I, because sometimes we live between two extremes. One extreme is God, you do everything, so I'm going to give up. I'm not going to do anything. That's why St. Paul wrote that letter, you know, calling people who are like slackers. You know, you have to work, you have to cooperate with your salvation. And on the other hand, oh, God's no anywhere, I'm just going to do everything myself. So between these two extremes of God is the total sovereign, total power, and then everything's up to me. This story is somewhere in between. Before there was anything, there was God and a few angels and a huge swirling globs of rocks and water with no place to go. And the angel asked God, why don't you clean up this mess? So God collected rocks from the huge swirling glob and put them together in clumps and said, some of these clumps of rocks will be planets, some will be stars, and some of these rocks will be just rocks. Then God collected water from the huge swirling glob and put it together in pools of water and said, some of these pools of water will be ocean, some will be clouds, and some of this water will be just water. Then the angel said, well, God, your creation is near now, but is it finished? And God said, nope. On some of the rocks, God placed growing things and creeping things and things that only God knows what they are. And when God had done all this, the angels asked God, is the world finished now? And God said, nope. And God made a man, and God made a woman, and from some of the water and dust, and said to them, I'm tired now. Please finish up the world for me. It's really almost done. But the man and woman said, we can't finish the world alone. You have the plans, and we are too little. You are big enough, God answered them. But I agree to this. If you keep trying to finish the world, I will be your partner. The man and woman asked, what's a partner? And God answered, a partner is someone you work on, you work with on a big thing that neither of you can do alone. If you have a partner, it means that you can never give up because your partner depends on you. On the days you think that I'm not doing enough, and on the days I think that you're not doing enough, even on those days, we are still partners, and we must not stop trying to finish the world. That's the deal. And they all agreed to that deal. Then the angels asked God, is the world finished yet? And God answered, I don't know. Go ask my partners. Thank you, confirmation candidates. I know you're on your own journey of faith, but for you to say yes to the faith that you grew into, in a very clear way, you're saying, yes, God, I will be your partner. Maybe a small one, but I will be your partner. And so that on the days when I don't do my part, please help me out. And on the days I don't think you're doing your part, God, because you're a little slow, I will still be your partner. Your confirmation reminds all of us to this call, to let God, who is so near to us, to let God who trusts us, to call us partner. And regardless of how things seem, together with God, we can finish the world because it's already begun. God trusts you and I to be God's loving justice in the world.